Welcome, everyone, to We Have Issues, our weekly comic book podcast that opens the vault, feels the boom, weathers the aftershock, and marvels at every issue released this week. I'm your host, Keith, and I'm here to talk about all your favorite issues and publishers. But first, I do have a little bit of news. You've probably already heard it, but I want to give my opinion. The cast for the Fantastic Four movie has been revealed. If for some reason you've managed to avoid this information, it will star Pedro Pascal as Mr. Fantastic, Vanessa Kirby as Invisible Woman, Eben Moss Bacharach as The Thing, and Joseph Quinn as the Human Torch. I love this casting. I think it's going to be really good. My only hesitation was Pedro Pascal, just because he seems older than the others, and I do think casting younger would make more financial sense, but I think he'll do a great job, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, what do you guys think? You know, if you're one of those people that have a really unreasonable reason not to like this, I don't actually want to know. But yeah, other than that, the only other thing was the trailer for X-Men 97, which was very, very good. I don't have much to talk about except that I'm very excited about it. So yeah, with that in mind, I don't want to waste too much of your time because this is a double week. That's right. I was out last week, had a bit of a sore throat, wasn't able to record. So I'm going to be doing 2 weeks of comics. So if I go a little fast, that would be the reason. But I do want to give every comic a little bit of an attention. So let's jump in. And you guys know how it works. When we start talking about comics, even if it's 2 weeks worth of comics like it is this week, we don't start with a bang. What we do is we start with a boom. Boom Studios is our first publisher. And I got a lot of books for Boom because of the 2 weeks. Let's start with Ghost Lore 8. And I should mention, for the most part, I'm going to be doing 1 week and then the other. So keep an eye out for that. Ghost Lore 8. This one, of course, is written by Colin Bunn, illustrated by Leo Max, colored by Jason Wardy, and lettered by Duke Shire. I really am enjoying this story of the father and the daughter separated. They have the same gift, but they go their own paths. And this issue focuses around the father and his attempt to find her again, to be reunited with her. I really enjoy it. I thought it was really cool. I like how his character has developed over the series. I definitely had an opinion on him that was a lot harsher to begin with. And now I think he's just a really fascinating character. So really good character study and just a really great exploration of the afterlife and the nature of ghosts, and just really good. Really, really big recommendation for me. After that is Pine and Merrimack number 2. This one's written by Kyle Stark, illustrated by Ron Galan, and lettered by Pat Brosseau. Of course, this is issue 2 of this mystery series with this married couple running a detective agency trying to solve all these mysteries. Very picky about the mysteries they take because of the past of one of them. This one is a really great action-packed, like, spy thriller issue that definitely hints at a deeper well than we thought we would run into in this. So very cool, it's going to be a very huge conspiracy and a very huge revelation once we get everything. It's building really well. So big thumbs up there, too. After that is Once Upon a Time at the End of the World, number 12. Oh, my God. Written by Jason Aaron. Illustrations by Nick Dragota, Alexander Tafingi, Leila Del Duca. Colors by Rico Renzi, Lee Luffridge, and Tamara Von Villain. And lettered by Ann World Design. After the separation of our two main characters, this issue follows Mezzi after their separation and kind of shows us how we got to where she is now. And yeah, it's interesting to see her kind of like fall back into the way she was before she met Mace, and the survival instinct she has. And it's just interesting to see both of them comparatively on their own, doing what they have to do to survive and what they fall back on. Very cool. We also get some development, obviously, in this modern time and what's going on there. And it's just like, oh, it's so good. But it's a really heartbreaking book because I really grew to love these characters, and it definitely feels like near the end. But it's not too late to jump on. Definitely pick it up. And my next boom book is the final boom book for the first week I'm covering, which is The Space Between number 4. This one is written by Karina Bechko, illustrated by Danny Luckert, and lettered by Jim Campbell. Because I'm covering, I have 2 books of the week, and this is my book of the week for the first week. I really, really loved this series so much. And it's a shame that it came to an end at four issues, even though obviously it seemed planned. I'm not saying like anything beyond that, but it's just so good. The quality is so high, and it's just such a fascinating story spanning generations aboard this Ark spaceship. And I really like it. I love all the characters that it introduced. I love that the fate of feeling the fate of humanity, feeling the fate of all these people as they have to make these important decisions. And you know, you have the society level, but then you also have the individual level. And I think the balance is really well done. I loved this book. I thought it was great. Totally pick it up. It's only going to be four issues, so be a great trade to pick up. Second Week of Boom book starts with The Displaced, number one. This one is written by Ed Brisson, illustrated by Luca Casalinguera, colored by D. Cunniff, and lettered by Hassan Atzmane Alhau. I loved this book. This is a great number one, a really good start. About a mysterious disappearance of an entire city of people and the shocking things that happen afterwards too, because whereas they do disappear, there seems to be some kind of mysterious cover-up to say that they'd never existed. And the reasons behind that are a very, you know, interesting thought, like what would be the reason to do that? And, these characters who escaped the disappearance but are involved, lost family members, they're caught in the middle, and to see what's going to happen to them is really interesting. It's a great concept. It's really great. It's going to be a good thriller. And, you know, if we do get answers, it'd be very, very interesting. But this is one of those ones where we might not figure it out. It might be. That might be the story. So regardless, very good book. Next up is Firefly, The Fall Guys, number five. This one is written by Sam Humphreys, illustrated by Jordi Perez, colored by Francisco Segala, with color assist by Gloria Martinelli, lettered by Jim Campbell. Definitely still building on this. We do get a shocking scene at the beginning where the crew seems to be like they're about to be executed, but we do get the revelation that it is a vision of Rivers. But yeah, we still have them trapped behind lines. We have this tension between the townspeople and everything. And, you know, it's just really, really good. And then I think the really underrated part of it is this other group, the ones that tricked the, you know, Firefly to be there to begin with. And they're still lingering about. And it seems like there's some tension within that group too, which I think is a really interesting development. But yeah, really good book. I'm really enjoying it. Definitely when it ends, it's going to be handed off to Amanda because Amanda is a huge Firefly fan. And yeah, if you're also a Firefly fan, this is totally worth a read. Final Boom book for this week is Zawa and the Belly of the Beast, number four. This is written, illustrated, colored, and lettered by Micah Dialinus. I never say his name right. Zawa is so good, guys. Like, Zawa is such a cute design. I'm a big fan of Wind. I talk about it every time I talk about Zawa. But there's a level of creepiness in this that is just eerie and just insane with how we meet a certain character in this issue, is what I'll say. And it's really creepy and grim, and I think it's a really great reflection of Michael's art, and also the ability to take a character design and take it two completely different directions. I really like this book. I think it's really cool. I think there's an end in sight, but I'm not sure which way it's going to go, and it's definitely a book that actually matters to me. It's something that I really am enjoying, so I'm very curious to see where it's going to go, and I can't wait to get there. So, always worth a read. All right, that's all the Boom books. So let's talk about Black Mask Studios. And this is my book for the second week. this is Hecate's Will, number five, or Hecate, if you're one of those people. Written and illustrated by Yolanda Zanfardino. I love this book. It's one of me and Josue's favorites. And it took a long hiatus. And we were just like, we just want to know the ending. And it's here. And it's beautifully told. And absolutely heartbreaking, like just a devastating ending in a good way, in the best way. It's the kind of ending that makes you sad but makes you feel warm inside too. It's just so good. If you guys don't know Yolanda, you should check out their work. Everything. I can't even begin to recommend things, but just check out everything. This book is my book of the week. I loved it, and I'm so happy to finally have it in my hands. Next up is IDW Publishing. And let's see. I got two books. I got Ministry of Compliance number 3, written by John Ridley, art by Stefano Raffaelli, colored by Brad Anderson, and letters by Nathan Wittick. I'm not going to get too much into this one. This is a really good issue, but it is kind of like we're building the same stuff. So it's definitely building up, but I don't want to retell the plot the entire time. But it's doing a really good job of building the tension. And if you're a fan of stories where one person is trying to play both sides and the tension of the balance of that of not being found out, this is a really good example of it. I really like it. I love the art. I love the characters a lot. I love the main character specifically. I think she's amazing. Yeah, very good book for that with a sci-fi twist. So if that sounds up your alley, definitely check it out. After that is The Hunger in the Dusk, number 6. Written by G. Willow Wilson, art by Chris Wildgoose, colored by Mosaic, and lettered by Simon Boland. This one is so... Okay, I've made no secret of the fact that this is one of my favorite comics right now at all, period, across the board. And this is a really good issue because we dive into the background of one of our main characters. I love it. I love her so much. I love her character design. It's just such a vivid and creative design and just so visually appealing. I love it. But yeah, just jumping into the background of this character, winnowing down the cast a bit for an issue just to dive in. But it also has an impact on the modern time. It is a really well-balanced tale, and it does make me, you know, feel closer to that character, make me care about that character more, and I already really liked her. So very, very good. If there's a book I can recommend to anybody I know, it's The Hunger in the Dusk. That's the first book out of my mind right now. So if you're out there and you need a recommendation, Hunger in the Dusk. It's great. And book 2 is going to start soon, so you have time to catch up on book 1 and just enjoy this amazing fantasy tale. It's incomparable, I will say. All right. Next up is Dynamite Comics. I only got the one Dynamite book this week, which is Thundercats number 1. Of course it is. Written by Declan Shalvey, art by Drew Moss, colored by Chiara De Francia and Martina Pegnadoli, and lettered by Jeff Eckelberry. So I was not a Thundercats kid when I was younger. I didn't really watch the show. That was not one I was really into. I was aware of it. I knew some things, you know. But it wasn't something I was really passionate about. But I knew a lot of people that were. I heard a lot of people that really loved the series. So I was tertially aware of it. This is a really good run, a book. I really like the launch of it. I like the characterization. It makes me care about the characters. And definitely gets me hooked for the series. I'm definitely going to keep picking it up. Dynamite is really killing it with these adaptations. So very excited. Speaking of which, the Space Ghost one, cannot wait. Just want to throw that out there. We got the announcement about that. And very good creative team. I'll let you look it up yourself. So, but yeah, very, very good. It makes me care about the Thundercats when I never did. So very good. All right. Next up, we're going to switch publishers to Titan Comics. I got Conan the Barbarian number 7. Of course, this is from last week, I believe. So a week old, but I still want to talk about it. This one is written by Jim Zub, art by Doug Braithwaite, colored by Diego Rodriguez, and lettered by Rich Duncan. After the aftermath of their job, where they obtained the treasure, Conan and his team, there's just something wrong. Something's going on with them. And it is going back to this first arc that we had in the series, and I love how everything is tying together. I love the brutal lethality of Conan. I think that's something that did get lost for a while in the other Conan books. And so Titan does give it a chance to like really stand out as just, he is a violent person. And it's very, very good. I really dig it. Yeah, very good stuff. Not going to talk too much about it because, you know, we're in the middle of an arc. But again, everything about it's really great. The art's really good. It's classical Conan art in a really good way. And Jim Zub, I don't think there's a better fantasy writer in comics than Jim Zub. So yeah, it's just great. Okay. Next up, we're going to switch publishers and we're going to talk about Distillery. Let's talk about Gone number 2. Oh man, what a book. This is, of course, written by Jock, colors by Lee Lefferts and Jock, and letters by Angela Design. A pretty sizable time skip in this issue, which I think is very interesting. And a lot happens in these issues because it looks like they're going to be 3-issue series. So they have to pack a lot into each issue. And this one was really good. I really like it. I like the dynamic of the people aboard this ship and the, you know, the revolutionaries versus the corporate level and this character caught in the middle. Big revelations in this one. I'm not going to get into spoilers because you should read it yourself, but very good. Sets up a final issue that I think is going to really hit the fan. It's going to be great. Everything Distillery has done so far has been A+, A tier, totally worth reading. So make sure to check it out. All right, switching publishers now to Dark Horse Comics. I have several Dark Horse books this week, so let's jump in. Time Traveler Tales number 3. Created by Carl Jacobs, script by David Scheidt, colored by Kelly and Nicole Matthews, letters by Joe McGill. This is the 3rd issue, and again, I say this every time, but this is an IP I was not aware of before the comic. I just tend to pick up every comic. And so I'm really enjoying this character, this character that's kind of thrown through time in a prepubescent quantum leap way. And I really dig it. I really like Oliver as a character. And this issue kind of like, instead of just a random adventure, is really setting up the central plot. And I think it's a good timing for that. And it's definitely something I was curious about. Like, what's going on here? We get a lot of answers. And we get a looming threat. We get kind of a time, you know, how do I put this? Like, not a time limit, but we get a ticking time bomb, if you will. You know what I mean? Like, we get like there is something happening and something needs to happen before this. We're not just going to aimlessly wander through time. Very cool. Something I've really enjoyed. It's a great YA book. I think a lot of young people would really enjoy it, and I enjoy it. So very good. Next up, Star Wars: The High Republic Adventures number 3, written by Daniel Jose Older, illustrated by Harvey Tallabaugh and Nick Brokenshire. Colored by Michael Altea and letter by Comic Craft's Tyler Smith and Jimmy Betancourt. This is continuing the ongoing tale here of finding Lula with her memory loss and her adapting to being back with her family, her friends, you know, finding out who she is, finding out things by instinct. And I really like it. I love seeing all these characters again because that first volume with all these characters was such a good volume of comics. It won our award for that year. It was the best book by their prior publisher, is what I'll say. But this is so good. I really like seeing all these characters, like seeing this creative team back, and just it feels such a great niche in the High Republic right now too. I really, really enjoy it, and there's so many characters I hope to see some more of too. Next up is The Oddly Pedestrian Life of Christopher Chaos number 7. Script idea by James Tynion IV, but the script is by Tate Bromble, art by Sue Lee, doing a guest appearance, colors by Patricio Topech, and letters by Aditya Bidikar. We dive into the background of Adam Frankenstein, one of the most recent character we met in the main series, and it's really interesting. Obviously, when we're talking a Frankenstein character, a Frankenstein monster, we have to discuss Dr. Frankenstein, and he's featured very heavily in this issue as a major part of the origin. And I think it's told really well. The Dr. Frankenstein story can be told very badly sometimes, but I think it's done really well. I like it. I like this version. I was a big fan of the Penny Dreadful version, things like that. Just very interesting, very sympathetic in a way that you might not be with the character sometimes. I think it was done really, really well. And you got Adam bubbling under the surface. I think he's going to be featured more in the next issue. But yeah, really great way to introduce this character and to take a break from the main plot that we're having. So big thumbs up. After that is Blue Book 1947, number 1. The script by James Tynion IV, art by Michael Avon Omin, and letters by Tom Napolitano. This is a spinoff of the original Blue Book series, which of course is about true stories of alien sightings. This one goes back to 1947 and with a mid-air sighting. And I like this one because it's not focusing on just one sighting. It's kind of opening up the idea of like all the sightings of this era, because there was this was a season known specifically for all these sightings. So we're not going to stick with just the same couple like we did in the last series. I really like this. I know, like, you know, aliens are real, fiction is a very big thing to a lot of people. It's never been something that's been big to me, but I really like this. I think the highlight to me is the art. Michael Omin's art is really, really good. and has a, just like a real noir feel to it. And I really, really dig that. So final book is If You Find This, I'm Already Dead, number one, written by Matt Kent, art by Dan McDade, color by Bill Crabtree, letter by Jim Campbell. This is a plus size book, so it's a little bit bigger, which doesn't happen with Dark Horse very often. And it is an amazing story of a portal found to an alternate world and the way we're exploring it. And naturally, because we're humans, we lead the way with our military because that's what we do. But this is the tale of a reporter, the first reporter that goes across and her experiences. And of course, everything goes pear-shaped immediately. And I'm really very invested in this character and what's going to happen. I love the exploration of this world. The little bits we've seen of the natives, I think there's a great dichotomy there that's going to be interesting to explore. And it kind of like, in a strange way, it reminds me of DMZ. As you have this outsider come into this world that is like, there are things you recognize, but there are things that are just not right. And exploring that is really, really good. I was a big fan of DMZ, so that's a compliment. Definitely a book I really, really enjoyed and definitely can recommend. So once again, If You Find This, I'm Already Dead, number one. All right, everybody. So take a stretch. All right. We're going to start on the big publishers, because the next publisher of comics that we're going to review is Image Comics. All right. First week, The One Hand, number one. Written by Ram V, art by Lawrence Campbell, colored by Lee Luffridge, and letter by Aditya Bidikar. This is a really great, gritty police drama set in the future. And in a world where things are drastically different. It's still a recognizable world, still recognizable as Earth, but things are drastically different. And we have this officer who is, or detective who is ready to retire when one last familiar case comes onto his desk. And I really like it. It's very well told. It's again, it's grim, it's gritty. Again, noir. I hate to throw that word around a lot because it means something, but it really feels very noir to me. And something that I immediately attached to. This is going to be a really, really great book. If you do like that gritty detective fiction and serial killer fiction, I think it's going to be just absolutely amazing. So big recommendation on The One Hand. After that is Rogue Son, number 18. This one is written by Ryan Perot, art by Abel, colors by Natalia Marquez, and letter by Becca Carey. I want to first say this is the wrap up of the arc. And I love the way this arc wrapped up. I love the way it brought the family together in a way. And we've gone 18 issues with this family being at odds with each other the entire time. And it's, even though they're not best friends, it's nice to see them brought together and on the same page. I was worried this was the end of the series, because if you look at this cover, this is the end of a series cover. But luckily, no, we're coming back with 19. I'm very, very happy about that, because this has been a really great book. And I'm looking forward to see if Rogue Son plays a bigger part in the Massiverse, because I still want that big crossover. So after that is Crave 3. Oh, man. A story and art by Maria Lovett, of course, with the logo designed by Jesus Arellana. Letters by Maria Lovett as well. This book is so good. I love Maria Lovett. She's a big fan. We're big fans of hers. And this art is just insane. This story is just steamy and twisted and just grim in a certain way. There's a certain horror element about it. It's just really, really good. It's something that I'm thoroughly enjoying, and just like it's impossible to explain this book. You have to read it. If you like Maria Lovett, though, I guarantee you will like this book. It's up there with anything Maria Lovett's ever done. So very, very good book. Next up is Love Everlasting, number 12. Written by Tom King, art by Elsa Chartier, colored by Matt Hollingsworth, and letter by Clayton Cowles. Oh, my God. Oh, man. Okay. To talk about this issue is very difficult, because it's hard not to spoil. But everything changes in this issue. We find out a huge revelation. we find out one of the biggest pieces of the puzzle slides into place, is what I'll say. And it really makes me want to go back and read the whole series. I love it. Just the weirdness of the series being like these ostensibly these cheesy love stories, but obviously this creepy thing going on in the background. And then this, again, this puzzle piece sliding into place just blew me away. Love this series. Insane. Can't spoil it, so I'm not going to talk anymore, but check it out. And finally, The Cull, number 5. This is my last image book from last week. Written by Kelly Thompson, art by Mattia De Ulis, and letter by Hassan Atsmani Ahau. I love this book. I make no secret that I basically have loved everything Kelly Thompson has ever done, so that's not a big, you know, big shock, but just a beautiful book. Absolutely beautiful book. Visually, Mattia's art is just stunning. It's the only word for it. It's absolutely gorgeous. And this is the end of the arc, or the end of the story. There's a tease for potentially more, and in case anyone from Image is listening, yes, please, I will take some more, The Cull. But man, it's just really great. I love these characters, and just a banger of an ending. Just absolutely just shocker. Just put the comic down and walk away from it for a while. Just, oh my God. Yeah, The Cull. Top 5 books of the year, definitely. So check it out. Now for this week of Images Comics, we'll start with I Hate Fairyland 11. Created and written by Scotty Young, drawn by Brett Bean, colored by Jean-Francois Ballou, letters by Nate Picos. This one is very funny. In the last issue, Queen Claudia is able to use the door and escape to the real world. And it's Claudia's adventures in the real world, and it's not great. It doesn't go great. It's very funny. It's a repeated gag that I really enjoy. But that's I Hate Fairyland. That's how it works. This, sometimes it's just a repeated gag. That's just great. But yeah, really good. Not going to talk too much about it, but if you're a fan of the series, it's a worthy issue. After that is Transformers 5, written and drawn by Daniel Warren Johnson, colored by Mike Spicer, and lettered by Russ Wooten. I've made a point of talking about how they were so smart in staggering the cast for this book, introducing us to a few at once. That way you can connect with characters and get to know them without 30 Transformers being dropped on you. This issue does introduce us to a few more, and I think they're the right choices, and I think they're done very well. I think, again, the stagger of characters is really, really good. I really appreciate there's a big shocker at the end with some of the Decepticons revealed, and it's one of my favorite things in Transformers fiction is these characters, so I'm not going to spoil it because it's great. So yeah, big thumbs up, loving this. Can't wait for more. After that is The Cabinet, number 1. This one came out of nowhere. I didn't hear anything about it, and it was on the wall. I'm like, okay, I'll give it a shot. Story and writing by David Ebeltoft. Writing, lettering, and design by Jordan Hart. Pencils, inks, and colors by Chiara Riamonde. This is a really cool story, and I'm trying to think of the best way to pitch it to you. It's a mind-bending tale, and it's got like a science fiction feel to it, but it's not straight sci-fi. It's maybe a little bit of fantasy as well, like a modern fantasy. And it's just, there's no way to pitch it. I can't pitch it to you. I will say it's very good. I really enjoy it. We meet our protagonist, and immediately she's a likable character. She's a character that you should care about. And we see, I guess, what you would call a sidekick, a best friend, that I think is also a very interesting character and a very clear mission, a very clear end point that they would like to get to. Very well told. It's one issue, so it's too early to really judge the series as a whole, but I like it. I think it was really good. And definitely worth a pickup. The art alone is really, really great too. So next up is The Deviant, number 4. Written by James Tynion IV, art by Joshua Hickson, letters by Hassan Atsmani Ahau. Oh my God, this book. This one, for those who don't know, is about the gentleman who wants to write the comic book about a serial killer who happened to be gay in the past. That's so structured weird. A gay serial killer who in the past killed a bunch of people and is now in jail. and he's doing an investigation into it, and he himself is gay, and it's both an exploration of the murders, but also an exploration of what it is to be a homosexual. And it's so interesting to me. It's very fascinating character study, but there's also this undercurrent of, you know, the oppression that non-straight people have to deal with. And it's building to a point that's so tense. Like, you see something coming and you don't know what to do about it. And I just, each issue I read, I just like, oh no, it's getting worse. It's going to be bad. And I don't know where we're going to end up. I honestly, with this creative team, it could go either way. So we'll see. But very good. Very good book. Definitely one to keep your eye on. After that is Kill Your Darlings, number 6. Story by Ethan S. Parker and Griffin Sheridan. Art by Robert Quinn. And a letter by John J. Hill. Oh, man. This book is great. Some really grim imagery in this one. Some really, like, almost body horror stuff, which is kind of new to the series for me. But really great story. I will say that the title of the comic takes a different meaning in this issue, and I think that really shapes the series. But again, this is an issue 6. You know what you're getting at this point. You should definitely be reading it. And I'm curious to see what you guys are thinking if you're still reading it. So let me know. And protect Wallace. Protect Wallace with all of your heart. So, if you're reading you. All right, next publisher. Let's talk about DC Comics. Here we go. How to Lose a Guy Gardner in 10 Days. I'm not going to go over every story, but I really liked it. It's basically a bunch of love stories. It's a Valentine's Day book. There's a Guy Gardner one, a Red Tornado one, a Booster Gold one, one for The Flash, Constantine, Plastic Man, Wonder Woman, and Nightwing and a Batgirl. I love them all. They're great. I love these characters. I actually really like the Guy Gardner one because I'm a big fan of Guy, but also because it's kind of an anti-love story, which I thought was a great idea. But also the title is insane. I love it. So very good. Don't want to talk too much about it because there's too many books and I don't want to burn myself out. So next up, Shazam 8. This one I really liked. Storytelling by Mark Waid and Goran Suzuka, colored by Ivy Sorcina, and lettered by Troy Pateri. This is coming in the aftermath of Black Adam and Shazam having the fight, or the Captain having the fight, and destroying Billy's home and his family's home and all this, and the choices that he has to make after that, and what he's choosing to do, because obviously this is a foster home. These kids are, you know, essentially adoptees, and if they don't have a legitimate house to live in, they can't stay there. And so that's a bigger threat added on to everything else. And of course, these dinosaurs are still making a big mess about all their paperwork. So there's a lot of things that come into play here. I really liked it. I'm a big fan of Black Adam. I've talked about that in the past. And I think his characterization here is pitch perfect. I think it's really well done and showcases how he can be a villain, but an honorable villain, I think is the best way to put it. So really, really good. I'm enjoying the Shazam run. After that is Fire and Ice. Welcome to Smallville, number 6. The finale. A real shame. I love this book. I know a lot of books are just planned as minis, so that's fine. But I do hope we get to see more of these characters, specifically with this creative team. Script by Joanne Starr. Art by Natasha Bustos. Colored by Tamara Bondolin. Letter by Ariana Mayer. Just kind of bringing the whole, like, huge ensemble together and wrapping it up. I love the way they did it. I think the characters obviously have grown by the end of it, and their friendship is obviously the thing that ties the whole story together, and it's definitely, like, something that is the center of the story. But I also really like all the side characters. I think they really got a chance to shine and in really goofy ways, but also in really interesting ways, too. Yeah, just a great self-contained story. It'll make a really, really great trade. And I just love the art. The art doesn't take itself too seriously. It's a lot of fun. I really like the characters. And Fire and Ice are just two of my favorite DC characters. So definitely check it out. After that is a couple books, because these came out back to back as far as weeks go. So I'm going to put them together. It's Red Hood, The Hill, number 0 and number 1. So let's talk creative teams. I should say Red Hood 0 is a reprint of the issues leading up to this upcoming Red Hood the Hill story. That's why it's a number zero. And this is a series, some books that I didn't actually read, so I'm glad to have it to catch me up. Written by Sean Martinbro, penciled by Tony Akins and Maura Tatt, inked by Stefano Gaudino, colored by Paul Mounce, and letter by Troy Viteri. Just kind of setting up post-Joker War, Jason going to the neighborhood called The Hill and kind of setting up shop there and, like, you know, making that his zone of Gotham. This is something we've been seeing a lot lately in DC where, like, different members of the Bat family are claiming, like, different neighborhoods around Gotham, which I think is really weird, but good. I mean, it's fine. Like, what was it? Tim was the Robin of the docks or some shit like that. But I do like this one. It kind of fits Jason's character to be a part of this specific area because, you know, it's pretty crime ridden. And also, it's very street level. It's very do it yourself and kind of like no punches pulled kind of thing. So very good. Really digging that zero to catch me up. Now, the number one was kind of focusing. It kind of takes place almost immediately after that issue. And this one, very similar creative team. Written by Sean Martinbro. The art is by Sanford Green with colors by Matt Herms and letter by Troy Viteri. Very interesting. I love the group of vigilantes that he is a part of and these individual characters that we're meeting. And I can't help but feel they're a little bit in over their heads and that's going to cost them. That seems to be like a reoccurring thing with Batman supporting characters that just think they can do it without, you know, really getting the level of training that the Bat family does. So we'll see, but I definitely love it. Obviously, Jason is my favorite Bat family member besides Barbara. So I'm hooked. I'm here. And yeah, really good start. After that is Poison Ivy 19. This is just, this book, man, is just A tier. Like, it's just one of the best books out there. One of the best books DC's definitely making. Yeah. Written by G. Willow Wilson, art by Mercio Takara, color by Arif Prianto, letter by Hassan Asmani Alhao. This is flashing back to Ivy's college years and her meeting of the man who had become the Floronic Man. And just the way she got entrapped by him, the way he groomed her, the way he turned her into what he wanted. And it's just a really fascinating read. It's great to read it from her perspective. It's great to see what she saw in him, what she wanted to accomplish, how she got into this. Again, I really liked it. I thought it was really good. I love the art. I just love the art of this series in general. But this is good. Looks like it's going to be a three-part series to tell this origin, which is interesting. I would expect it to be one, maybe two, so three. Very curious to see where that's going to go. Next issue will probably deal with her actually being transformed into Poison Ivy. And I'm very curious to see that reimagined with this art style. So, very good. After that is Birds of Prey, number 6, written by Kelly Thompson, art by Leonardo Romero, colored by Jordi Belair, and letter by Clayton Cowles. This is wrapping up the Sin story and is wrapping up this mission. And it comes to a satisfactory conclusion, even if it's not exactly all that the birds probably wanted. I really liked it. I thought it was really cool. I love the characters that we had for this group. I'm curious to see how many of them come back for the next arc, because yes, there is going to be a next arc. Of course it is. This is one of the best books DC has. I thought it was really, really good. I love seeing Zana Zealot and Barda, big Barda fan. Producer Liz is a huge big Barda fan. So very cool to see that. And yeah, I'm very curious to see what the future is going to hold. This is definitely a trade that you want to pick up. After that is Wesley Dodds, Sandman, number 5. Won't talk too long in this one because we're right at the end of an arc. Written by Robert Venditti, art by Riley Rossmo, colored by Ivan Placencia, and letter by Tom Napolitano. So Wesley is trying to clean up this mess of what was caused by the stealing of his formulas. And I love the feeling of, like, it feels like he's making progress, but then it's bigger than he thinks. That's I feel like things keep getting bigger and bigger and he has to adjust. He has to deal with it. And at a certain point, he's basically fighting the military. And so I really like it. I really like Wesley Dodds as a character. I always thought the design was so cool with the gas mask and everything and the noir detective style, like really, really good. And again, I always say it, but I really like Riley's art in this. I think it's the right touch of creepy for this story, but very, very good. We might only have one issue left, I think, because I think all these JSA series are supposed to be six issues. So after that is Speed Force number 4. This is a book that when it launched, I was like, I haven't heard anything about this book. I'll check it out. And you probably see it on Twitter. I'm just calling it one of the most fun books out there. It really is just a lot of fun. Written by Jarrett Williams, art by Daniel DeNucchio, color by Andrew Dawes, and letter by Simon Boland. There's so much going on in here, but I love the featuring of all these young heroes. I love Avery. Avery is such a great character and a character that was not on my radar until the series. Wallace is great. Just everything in general is really, really good. And I also really, really care about the fact that we're bringing in these Teen Titans Academy characters, because I was a big fan of that series and I'm very excited to see them back. So I'm not going to go too much into it because it's in issue 4. That's about the sweet spot where we don't really need to talk about the plot too much, but pick it up. I think you'll really like it. If nothing else, for DeNucchio's art is just absolutely incredible. After that is Green Lantern number 8. Yep. Written by Jeremy Adams, art by Amon K. Nahalapan, color by Romulo Farda Jr., and letter by Dave Sharp. Producer Liz and I were big fans of the Green Lantern animated show, so I was very excited that we're dealing with Razor in this series, and I thought it was really cool. I like Razor a lot, and I like the way that he's used. I like they were finding out more about what's going on with the core right now, because there's this big mysterious thing going on there, and we're all kind of banned from going out there, so we're not seeing it. And we get to see the new Lantern core, and it's not what it should be. Something is definitely going on there. Very interesting hook. I think it's very, very cool, and it's something that Hal is definitely going to have to explore. So, very good. Really enjoyed it, and can't wait for more. After that is Blue Beetle number 6. This is the finale of the arc, and hopefully not the series, because I love the series, but I haven't heard anything about it. So, written by Josh Trujillo, art by Adrian Gutierrez, color by Will Quintana, and letter by Lucas Gattoni. We get to find out more right now at the end about Blood Scarab, right before this big confrontation between him and Jaime, and it's just really interesting. And the relationship between Jaime and his beetle, it's really fundamentally different after this issue. Things certainly change, and I thought that was a very interesting way to tell the story, and it's something that I'm very curious to see where we're going to go from here. Very good end. I loved Graduation Day, and I've loved this run as well. He's such an interesting character. I'm also a big fan of Ted Kord, so him featuring this was really cool too. I think we are going to get more in exploring what happened to Ted Kord, I think. So, very cool. After that is a number 1, Sinister Sons number 1. After the Super Sons, we got to do the villain version. Story words by Peter J. Tomasi, art by David LaFuente, color by Tamara Bonvillain, and letter by Rob Lay. I'll be flat out, I love the art. I love the art. It's so good. The character designs are insane. It's so cute, and I love it. Exploring the son of Sinestro, we think. It's not official. And the son of Zod. And I like the way that they come together. I like that they both have their own, like, vendettas and their own, like, ideas of what to do, and they just come face to face. Basically, their plans conflict, and that's how they meet. I think that's great as a comparison to like Damian and John. And one day we're gonna get the four of them fighting, and it's gonna be really good. But yeah, good start. That sounds like something you'd be interested in. Definitely pick it up. Action Comics 1062. This is continuing the Bizarro storyline, which is absolutely disturbing. Written by Jason Aaron. Art by John Timms, color by Rex Locus, and letter by Dave Sharp. With Superman the only person in all of Metropolis who's not taken over by the Bizarro virus, if you will, it's just really grim because he has to spend his entire time saving people from dying, from doing these horrible things that the Bizarros do to each other. And you can see it wearing on him. There's also that temptation to give in to the Bizarro virus. It keeps trying to drag him into it. And he knows how much damage he could do himself if he were to. So it's really grim, and other heroes can't really help that much because if they come in town, they transform. So really interesting story. I think I read this is only going to be a 3-parter, which I thought was kind of curious. But yeah, very curious to see where it's going to go. I'm a big Bizarro fan. I hope we get some big revelations about the character and find out a little bit more about why he chose to do this. So, next up is Batman and Robin, number 6. Joshua Williamson writing, Nicholas Esmeja art, colored by Rex Lucas and lettered by Simon. We get to find out more about one of Damian's school mates. And it's grim. This young man worships Victor Zsasz and turns into a mini version of him. And so we get Batman and Robin versus Zsasz and Zsasz. And it's really interesting the way it is. And of course, with the suspicion that Shush is the principal of Damian's school, did they push this boy this direction? What's going on here? Is this part of the bigger arc? Very cool. I really, really like it. I love this book. I love the family dynamic. There's also a scene where Damian shows Bruce his art because he reveals that he's been drawing comics. And it's probably the sweetest thing Bruce has ever done in comics. And I really like it because I'm not a big Bruce fan. But again, Damian makes me a Bruce fan. And I think this is so good. So 100%, this book rocks. Final DC book is The Outsiders, number 4. Yes, this book is absolutely insane. It's just so good. So let's talk about the creative team, of course. Colin Kelly and Jackson Lansing are the writers. Of course, where's the credits? There we go. Art by Robert Carey, colors by Valentina Taddeo, and letter by Tom Napolitano. They introduced this new character, and I love her, and I love the insane concept of her powers and the implications it has. It's such a heady story that's very Kelly and Lansing, and I love it. Imagine being so powerful that your moods can just change reality. That's basically what it is. And Drummer is drawn to this person to solve this resolve this situation. It's so good. I'm not going to get into what happens, actually, because I think you should read it yourself. But yeah, what a book. Oh my God, 4 issues in, and this every issue is better than the last, and they've all been good. So very, very good. Very, very happy with The Outsiders. Pick it up. Which brings me to our final publisher for the week, which is Marvel Comics. First Marvel book, Thanos, number 3, written by Christopher Cantwell, art by Luca Pizzari and Germán Peralta, colored by Ruth Redman, letter by Corey Petit. So we got the big revelation in the last issue that the woman that Thanos was trying to get was Death in human form, and we get an idea of what happened here. There's a flashback as to why Death was in human form and what's going on here. I thought it was really interesting. Very cool characters, and character work for Death, which is obviously an existential being. It's not something you really give character work, but I think it's cool, and I think it's developing interestingly. There's only one issue left. This is a 4-issue mini, and anything could happen at this point with the way that Death reacted to Thanos. I'm very curious. I want to see what's going to happen. And once again, I'll just reiterate, I love that this happened to Fresno because I live there, and it's very funny to me. So... After that is Captain America, number 6, written by J. Michael Straczynski, penciled by Lon Medina, inked by Lon Medina and Ballardino Bravo, colored by Espen Grundigern, and lettered by Joe Caramagna. Bringing to close this first arc with Captain America in the past, fighting this Nazi invasion of New York, but in the present, fighting the emissary of Asmodee. It just really, really cool. The parallels were really well done of drawing between the two characters of Steve with powers and Steve without powers and how he's always still fighting for the same thing. Really, really cool. And a very heartbreaking ending. It was very interesting and emotional of how things just don't change sometimes. And I thought that was really well done. So very J. Michael Straczynski ending is all I'll say. Very good. After that, Sensational She-Hulk number 5, written by Rainbow Rowell. Art by Iguara, colored by D. Cunniff, and letter by Joe Caramagna. Second part of the ladies' night out, Jen with Carol and Patsy, and they just go out to a bar, and they're suddenly attacked by demons and they have to defend themselves. And it's a lot of fun. We get a Damon Hellstrom appearance, which is always just wonderful when Patsy's there. It's just, I love that dynamic so much. It's very just perfect. But the big revelation is that Carol wants Jen to join the Avengers, and Jen says she'll think about it. Will she join the cast? That's interesting to me. I like the character a lot. I would be totally fine with that. She did just come off an Avengers run, which is interesting. So, but yeah, as long as this series continues, she can do whatever she wants. So after that is Doctor Strange number 12. This one is written by Jed McKay, guest art by Danilo Bayruth, color by KJ Diaz, letter by Corey Petit. This is a bats-centric story, which is always fun because bats is the best. Bats, being the ghost dog of Doctor Strange, suspects that something is wrong. And if you've been reading Crypt of Shadows from Marvel, you know what's wrong. But Steven isn't really paying attention, and Bats is going to investigate on his own. And that leads us to a really interesting story and some teases as to what's going to happen in the future. I do think this is a very good issue for future hooks. I think we're going to have a lot of fun with this as we get into it. So I love Bats. What a great character. Such a good boy. Such a good boy. After that is Avengers 10, written by Jed McKay, art by C.F. Villa, color by Federico Blee, and letter by Corey Petit. With the Avengers battling the Twilight Court, Mirrodin confronts Kang, and we get basically the next step in Kang being this omniscient person who knows all the future problems that the Avengers are going to run into. And since he wakes up from his coma, you know, he obviously will be able to tell them everything. Well, unfortunately, Mirrodin erases the memory, so he's not going to be able to do that, which I think is a great twist, because it would be kind of weird if he was able to just tell them everything to expect. But there's also a great story with Nightmare, where they finally deal with Nightmare and the problems that Nightmare has been causing. So really, really good issue. I love this run of Avengers, and just once more. After that is Fantastic Four, number 17, written by Ryan North, art by Carlos Gomez, color by Jesus Robertov, and letter by Jakar Magna. Won't talk too much about this one. It is a really great standalone story, and it does kind of reference Fantastic Four history. It goes back and, you know, references stuff that happens early on and kind of ties things up, which I really, really like when writers do that. But it's kind of like a twisted date night because it's just Sue and Reed. And I loved it. I thought it was really a lot of fun. I love when Sue gets a chance to shine always because she's a great character. And I mean, of course, it's hard not to love this book with today or this week being the announcement of the movie cast. So very cool. Ryan North continues to be like a revelation for these characters. Next up, Daredevil Black Armor, number 4, the final issue, written by DJ Chichester, colored or penciled by Neto Diaz, inked by J.P. Meyer, colored by Andrew Dawless, and lettered by Clayton Cowles. Yeah, it wraps up this arc. I do love this this kind of like Daredevil against everybody feel that the last two issues has had, because there's so many bad guys. And it's just kind of like him fighting for his life. We do get to see him back in the armor, which is great, because in the last issue, he didn't really wear the armor. So it's good to see him back in the armor to wrap it up. Very cool. And we get a guest appearance by a specific Avenger, which I thought was a great shout out. Yeah, good, nice self-contained story, nice flashback tale. Marvel's been doing a lot of these lately. So very cool. Blade 8, written by Brian Hill, art by Elena Casagrande, color by KJ Diaz, and letter by Corey Petit. So with Blade preparing to take on the Adana, in the last issue, he, of course, worked with Bruce Banner and pointed him a certain direction. He's determined what he needs to do is he needs to visit Hell. And so this issue is about him making a quick trip over to Hell just to pick up a few things. And really interesting. It also develops like some character relationships. I won't spoil too much, but I do like this direction that Blade is taking. There's like a darker path he's taking to resolve this situation. And very, very cool. I think it's awesome. Maybe we're leading to a Midnight Suns relaunch. Would be really cool. Just throwing that out there in case anyone's wondering. After that is Black Panther number 9, written by Eve Ewing, art by or pencils by Chris Allen and Mark Chater, inked by Chris Young and Mac Chater, color by Asusa Bardov, and letter by Joe Sabino. Very cool book. I really like this one. We are the with the loss of the the Kingpin and burning T'Chaka down and his daughter stepping up. We get like an escalation of what's happening. We also get like T'Challa revealing himself to the people he's been lying to about his identity and trusting them. And I thought that was a really great moment. It's an important step with this character too, because this is all about him reconnecting with his country, reconnecting with the bottom level of his country, not just the really like fancy king stuff. And so being honest with these civilians that have taken him in, I think was really interesting, a really important character trait. So I liked it. Very cool. After that is Night Thrasher number one. I'm so excited for this book. Written by Jay Holtham, art by Nelson Daniel, colored by Matt Meehan, letter by Travis Lanham. Night Thrasher, leader of the New Warriors. I was a big New Warriors fan, and I love seeing this. I love that Silhouette gets a significant like part in this. It looks like the second lead, essentially, is what Silhouette's going to be. I also really like the bulky suit that Night Thrasher has. It looks like he might get a new suit, which is really, really cool. But yeah, really interesting. I also, I will not spoil this, but there is another new warrior that appears maybe on the other side of the fight, which I thought was really interesting. I love the new warriors. Give me more new warriors, please. After that is Vengeance of the Moon Knight number two, written by Jed McKay, art by Alessandro Capuccio, colored by Rochelle Rosenberg, letter by Corey Petit. With this return of this dark Moon Knight, we're getting these highlights of different characters, and this is Tigra's time to shine. And I really like it. I love the way that Tigra explains her relationship with Mark and what he means to her compared to everybody else she was with. Very, very interesting, and something that I think I love the way we're painting these relationships. I also love that, like, we don't get confirmation this isn't Mark, but it's not Mark. Like, there's something going on here. The Midnight Mission definitely tells us more. And just because it's not Mark doesn't mean that's not Mark's body, because we're talking about Moon Knight here. So there's so many different things that could happen. And I just love the way this ensemble cast works together. And even if this isn't Moon Knight, even if this isn't his return, as long as these characters are still together, I think it's just a really compelling story that I'm definitely on board for at all times. So very good. After that is Thunderbolts number three. I really like this Thunderbolts book. I love the way it's that it's kind of like the second part of the Captain America story that Lansing and Kelly were writing. I like that. It's kind of like that next step. Written by Lansing and Kelly, of course. Art by Gerardo Borges. Colored by Arthur Hesley and letter by Joe Cipino. This brings the Thunderbolts directly into conflict with U.S. Agent and the American Kaiju, because they unknowingly are going to be assisting the Red Skull. Even though U.S. Agent hates the Red Skull, he doesn't know it. Of course, that leads to a conflict, and they have to stop them. And it's really, really great. Typical hero versus hero stuff. But it does lead to possibly U.S. Agent jumping on the team, which I am here for. I love me some U.S. Agent. So, yeah, very, very cool. I love the Thunderbolts run. And, yeah, can't wait to see what's next. Next up is Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver number one. This was almost my book of the week. It was so close, guys. Written by Steve Orlando, art by Lorenzo Tometa, colored by Frank William, and letter by Ariana Mayer. Bringing this back after the Scarlet Witch run, having the two of them get their own book, and delving into the relationship between the two of them. I love these two characters. I've always loved them. I make no secret of the fact that my comic book fandom started in early X-Factor, early New Mutants era. And these two were kind of all over that area. And that was when we really started to delve into their characters and figure out who they are more. I love Eurotrash Quicksilver. Like, he's so fucking great. And I love Wanda being this like patient caregiver who could also snap at any minute because there's that darkness inside of her. And they really bring the worst out in each other. And I love that because that's what family does sometimes. I also love the continuing role that Darcy plays. And I think she's going to be a great like middleman between them. And I think she's just going to hold a really important part, not just a throwaway character like some other characters in books. So very, very cool. Really liking it. Pick it up, please. I do not want this book to get canceled. I need people to read it. Next up is a book I did not get a copy of. I could not find a copy. Ultimate Black Panther. I'm assuming most of you weren't able to find a copy either. However, I caved and I got it on Kindle so I could review it for you guys. So you're welcome. Written by Brian Hill, art by Stefano Caselli, color by David Curiel, and letter by Corey Petit. This is a new world of Black Panther. And in this alternate world that the makers created, it's so cool to see like a familiar story told completely differently. And in this case, some of the changes, Wakanda's not open. Their borders aren't open yet. They're opening much later than, or presumably they're going to open much later than they normally would have in the Marvel Universe. With that being said, that definitely changes the arc of T'Challa's life. And one of the things, and I distinctly remember this when T'Challa was told to get married, where he ended up marrying Storm. Well, I remember his mother saying, why don't you marry, you know, one of your bodyguards? It's not unheard of, like Okoye. And he's like, nah, well, in this world, he is married to Okoye. And I think that's really cool. I think that's a great idea. I like that a lot of the characters are showing up. And I'm going to spoil this book a little bit. So if you are worried about spoilers, just skip ahead. But the use of Killmonger and what I presume is Storm is so cool. Like, that's like one of the most potential awesome story arcs I can imagine. And what could come from this is going to be absolutely fun. So yeah, big thumbs up from me. Ultimate Black Panther, great start to a new series. All right, let's talk about Spidey books. Venom number 30. This one is written by Al Ewing, art by Keifu and Rafael Pimentel, color by Frank D'Armada, and letter by Clayton Cowles. This is the Eddie Brock brawl, where Eddie breaks the pattern and is able to break this time loop he's stuck in, where he's all these different versions of himself. And it doesn't go well without, you know, we lose a couple of Eddie Brocks in the process, but you got to break a few eggs, I guess. Very cool issue, building up to this big confrontation that's going to happen. This book has been really good from the beginning, and bouncing back and forth between Eddie and Dylan has been fascinating. And yeah, very, very good one. And again, it's the Eddie side, so it's very, very heady. It's very like complicated, but in a really good way. After that is Superior Spider-Man number 4, written by Dan Slott, penciled by Mark Bagley, inked by John Dell, and letter by Joe Caramagna. In the last issue, when, you know, Otto eventually betrayed Peter and is basically determined to become the Superior Spider-Man again, we get that confrontation between them and the, like, how things are different now than they were last time, how Peter has changed. And I think that's a really cool way to emphasize what the difference is and how this turns out differently. Spoiler alert, he doesn't win. So Peter is able to maintain his own body. And I think it's really great. I think it's a humbling moment for Otto, a character that sometimes can be pretty delusional. I thought it was really well told. So very, very good stuff. And it looks like we're coming up to the end. So we'll see. After that is Spider-Gwen Smash number 3, written by Melissa Flores, penciled by Anid Balam, colored by Fer Cervantes Sujo, and inked by Elizabeth D'Amico, lettered by Ariana Mayer. There we go. Continuing this tour, we do find out who the bad guy is, and it's very interesting. I love that we are setting up this stuff for all these characters in Gwen's world and how they're different. Because, you know, it's basically a blank slate. You can do whatever you want in this world because there's really no other characters that matter coming from here. And I think it's really interesting. I love these characters. I love there's an implication here about MJ that I found very interesting and I really like. I hope we get to explore that further. Unfortunately, I've already seen the announcement about the new Gwen book where she's apparently trapped in the 616 universe. So maybe we're not. Like, I wish I didn't know that before the series is over. But I know getting the word out is definitely important. But I'm definitely buying that as well. But always, Spider-Gwen, I'll buy everything. Thank you. All right, let's check in with Gang War. I got 4 books for Gang War. Gang War Daredevil, number 3, written by Erica Schultz, penciled by Sergio Davila, inked by Sean Parsons, and colored by Cissa de la Cruz, sorry, letter by Clayton Cowles. This is, we find out more about was it B'Elanna, the assassin who popped the Laura claws, the Laura Wolverine claws. and kind of where she came from. And if you know anything about Laura's past, you can probably guess. And like when she popped up, I was like, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. Oh, so much going on here. So very interesting how this ties into like the overall gang war and the long-term impact that character could possibly have on this universe. So very cool. After that is Amazing Spider-Man 43. Written by Zeb Wells, penciled by John Romita Jr., inked by Scott Hanna, color by Marcio Meniz, and letter by Joe Caramagna. This one delving into the main conflict in gang war, the Madam Mask versus the Beetle conflict, and the heroes caught in the middle and doing what they need to do. I really, really like this. It's very cool to see all these different like sides bounce off of each other, and the way that Tombstone is just torn in all these different directions because he loves his daughter, but he's also Tombstone. You know, he also has a bit of a, you know, want for power. And so I really liked it. I thought it was very cool. Not going to spoil the ending, but we're definitely leading to a big conflict, big conclusion that I think is going to be, it could change things. It could change a lot of things is what I'll say. So, after that is Deadly Hands of Kung Fu Gang War number 3, written by Greg Pak, art by Caio Machado, and color by Jim Campbell with letters by Travis Lanham. I really like this one. It's the ending of the Shang-Chi mini. He does seem to be entering into the main storyline. And I love the way that he uses his brain. This whole mini series has been about him being the smart one, him being like doing things correctly. And, you know, not necessarily using people, but manipulating his pieces in place. It's all been about the art of war. And I think that's a really great way to wrap it up. And I'm very excited to see him more. So good. And Gang War, Miles Morales, Spider-Man, number 16, written by Cody Ziegler, art by Federico Vicentini, Federica Mancini, colored by Brian Valenz, and letter by Corey Petit. This is wrapping up the Hobgoblin portion of Gang War, where Miles and this team he has that's like half Cape Killers and stuff, they end up working together. I really like it. I like this supporting cast that we have for Miles. I think it's a lot of fun, and they're characters that I really enjoy. And I thought this is really well done, a really fun story, and leads again directly into what's going to be the finale of Gang War. Very interesting side thing for Miles. And it does seem like we are going to be getting a little bit more conflict with Rabble. I know that the big confrontation with Rabble is teased for the anniversary issue coming up. So very cool. I think Rabble is a great arch nemesis for Miles. Now let's talk about X-Books. X-Men 31. Oh my God, this book. Gary Dugan, you're mean. Gary Dugan's a writer. Art by Phil Noto. Letter by Clayton Cowles. We got the big revelation last issue that Talon, the older version of Laura, was killed when they went to Counter-Earth. And now she's only being kept alive by Everett in his mind. But it's keeping him out of commission, and the team needs him. The team needs him to help fight Nimrod. And he has to go through this internal conflict. He has to come to grips with letting Talon go. And it's just really sad. It's just a really, really well-told story and very emotional and very, like, very character-centric around Everett. I love Everett so much. Again, I've said it 100 times. If Krakoa gave us nothing else, it made Everett an A-list X-Men, and I'm so thankful for that. So, yeah. Really, really good. Gary Dugan, you're mean. Next up, Wolverine 43, which is Sabretooth War Part 3. Man, this book. written by Victor Laval and Benjamin Percy. Art by Jeff Shaw. Colored by Alex Sinclair and letter by Corey Petit. So we do get to see that, you know, of course, the X-Force group is ready to, you know, to stop Victor themselves. Obviously that's something that they're ready to do, but we also get to check in with my absolute favorite, the Exiles. I love the Exiles characters still out on their boat, and they still have this, you know, this problem with Victor, and they're still trying to hunt him down. So yeah, Sabretooth made a lot of villains, or a lot of enemies, I should say. So we're going to be very curious to see when this all comes down, maybe to watch, you know, Wolverine and X-Force take him on with the Exiles. Like, he'll be overwhelmed. Very, very cool. I love that. I love bringing that back and not forgetting about it. Very good. Final book of the week, Fall of the House of X, number 2. Written by Gary Dugan. Art by Lucas Wernick. Colored by Brian Villens. And letter by Travis Lanham. I love seeing the X-Men take the fight to Orcus like this and just doing some damage and seeing these characters, like seeing Polaris just be a badass, like just so good. We also get to see the long payoff of Manifold being taken out of commission. We finally get to see that come into play, and I think that's really interesting. The way this is all unfolding is just fascinating, and I really, really like it. I'm trying not to speculate. I'm not trying not to come up with like fan theories because I just want to enjoy it. And I'm really enjoying it. And if this is the end of the Krakoan era, then I mean, so be it. But it was a great ride while it lasted. So, all right, that is 2 full weeks of comics. Those are the issues that we had these past 2 weeks. Make sure to check us out on Twitter. You can find me at WHI Podcast Keith. You can find producer Liz at WHI Podcast Liz. You can find Josue at Josue Reads Josue. You can find the show itself at WHI Podcast. That is the best place to keep up with us. You'll get an announcement whenever a new episode comes out. You'll get timestamps for each publisher and a list of every issue revealed or reviewed. So make sure to check that out. Check out our other show, Jukebox Vertigo, at Jukebox Vertigo. That is our musical show where we talk about different musical subjects. Our most recent episode is a dive into boy bands. What is the definition of boy band? What do we think of it? We are joined by Anna, a guest of ours who is on our network, Certain POV, and just had a real blast talking about music. Lots of fun. So once again, at Jukebox Vertigo. And once again, follow our network at Certain POV Media on Twitter or at CertainPOV.com and join the Discord. Lots of great people sharing a lot of information. We geek out about everything you can possibly imagine. And also, you might find your new favorite podcast. I know I did. So don't forget to bag, board, and box your new treasures. We'll see you next week with the new batch of beautiful books. Stay safe and read more comics.
Can you believe we've been friends for 7 years?
And it all started because I compared you to Alana the Lioness.
Tamara Pierce really set the tone of our friendship.
A love of magic.
Briar Moss.
Fantasy.
Briar Moss.
Powerful women. And of course,
Briar Moss. I'm Anna.
And I'm MJ.
And we invite you to join our Circle of Friendship,
where we do a chapter-by-chapter deep dive into the Circle of Magic series by Tamara Pierce.
We answer important questions like, how does Moonstream let certain dedicates take care of children?
Can you imagine anyone else but Mandy Patinkin playing Nico?
Knives, Briar.
And
knives!
Join us every other Monday at cofpodcast.libsyn.com or wherever you download podcasts.
But seriously, knives...